My father told me when I was a child, people in authority lie. And we all, if we are going to continue to live in a democracy, we need to understand that people in authority lie. People in authority will abuse every power that we relinquish to them. And right now, we are giving them the power to micromanage every bit of our lives 24 hours a day. They're going to know where we are. They're going to know the money that we spend. They're going to have access to our children. They're going to have the right to compel unwanted medical interventions on us. We, you know, the Nazis did that in the camps in World War II. They tested vaccines on gypsies and Jews. And the world was so horrified after the war, we signed the Nuremberg Charter. And we all pledged when we do that, we would never again impose unwanted medical interventions on human beings without informed consent. And yet in 2 years, all of that conviction has suddenly disappeared. And people are walking around in masks where the science has not been explained to them. They are doing what they're told. They are these government agencies are orchestrating obedience. And it is not democratic. It's not the product of democracy. It's the product of a pharmaceutical-driven biosecurity agenda that will enslave the entire human race and plunge us into a dystopian nightmare where the apocalyptical forces of ignorance and greed will be running our lives and ruining our children and destroying all the dreams and dignity that we hope to give to our children.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Tuesday, July 13th, 2021, and it does seem we are having some connectivity issues. I was concerned about that, but thank you for joining me today. I'm just going to go ahead and turn off my camera straight away in hopes that that will alleviate some of the connectivity. But thank you for joining me. We have a lot to talk about here today, some important stuff. Might not be an incredibly long show. Hold on, let me put that back up real quick and turn off my camera. But as you can tell, we are still testing out the new location here, both sound, setup, equipment, and so on. The sound is a little better, I'm sure, today. However, we are going to be setting up some soundproofing and so on. But it's important for me to get the, you know, lay of the land here in the new location. And for those on the inside on the Discord community, I will be probably doing a little secret walkthrough to show you the new office. But the plan is to get this set up to where I can be doing live recordings. And you might even be hearing some slight sound on the street here. The idea is we have a window here. My plan is to have a live broadcast where people can walk by and look at the window as we're doing the show. A lot to build out. A lot of new things coming your way. But we're going to start off today with some important stuff. Now, I'm hoping, let me know in the chat if we're having any connectivity issues, as well as let me know if this how you, the sound compares to in the past. But we're going to talk about something that I tried to discuss today, something that I actually tried to talk about on Instagram today, and weirdly enough, the video just didn't post or didn't show up. I'm sure there are those of you out there that watched the stream I did. It was only a couple minutes to talk about this topic we're going to get into. But interestingly, it just wasn't there. It just didn't post, didn't show up. Not there. So maybe it's my ignorance of Instagram, but I wanted to jump on and do this today to cover this topic because it's very, very important. A lot of people have been talking about it, but it's just, you know, I don't even like using the term unbelievable or, this is completely expected in my opinion. Totally probably could have said this was going to happen, but to see it actually happening, to see it actually happening in real time where they're telling you this is going to happen, it just blows my mind, which is censorship on your private messages, text messages. We're going to talk about that primarily today, we're going to touch on masks again to show you what the kind of wishy-washy back and forth in California. We're going to talk about the emergency use authorization again today, because as we get closer to tomorrow, which will be the last one or the last day until they're supposed to renew it for the next 90 days. We're also going to talk about something I've had on the side for a minute, which is this neurological brain issue and kind of the overlap and where I think it's really coming from. And as well as an interesting study on PCR testing and a couple of other interesting things to start with. But before I do that, I wanted to play a clip here to start out that I wanted to get in people's minds once again, something that is not that you've seen more than once. But I want people to think about this as we step into the things we're about to talk about, a kind of a brief refresher course on why these things are alarming, why these things are dangerous, even outside of the context of COVID-19 and where this is taking us today and how there were people trying to tell us this was dangerous in the beginning.
I heard earlier that there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount, and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see environmentally. This is called a nanoparticle, and nanoparticles bind really tightly to the bacteria antigens, the virus antigens, the food protein antigens, and any other contaminants that are in the vaccines that we may not know about. And we know that the biochemical properties of nanoparticles is that they are capable of entering the brain. And so we have not evaluated the safety of the aluminum nanoparticle and its injection and where it goes when it gets into the body and whether it gets into the brain. Do vaccine ingredients belong in the brain? No. Do they get into the brain? No one has ever studied it. But animal studies using the same chemicals that are in vaccines that we give to children directly demonstrate that the vaccine ingredients do enter the brain. We are ignoring this information. There are scientists in Europe who've actually done studies on the aluminum nanoparticle and have shown that it can persist in the brain for years and decades. And so what we're seeing is a large outbreak of neurodevelopmental disabilities in adults, including Alzheimer's. And one of the main factors that they're finding in the brains of people with Alzheimer's is the aluminum nanoparticle that's directly related to the vaccines that we're giving. So we have never studied whether the aluminum that we're giving in vaccines gets into the brain, and we've never measured whether it stays in the brain and what it does if it does stay in the brain. But we do know that vaccines are supposed to cause inflammation in the body. But we have more than half of our children with chronic inflamed conditions. And we've never allowed ourselves to ask the question, if the vaccines cause inflammation acutely, do they continue to create inflammation chronically? We have 1 in 5 with neurodevelopmental disabilities, 1 in 10 with ADD and ADHD, 1 in 35 with autism, 1 in 11 with asthma, and 1 in 20 under the age of 5 with seizures.
It's just unbelievable that this can be spoken. This was in February 2020. And we've told you, we've shown you that many times. Now, it's not, the point is about, and as somebody points out rightly in the chat, the fact checkers tried to debunk the dangers of general nanoparticles, like in a broad sense. I've gone over the scientific research about that, not, you know, nanoparticles in a general sense. You know, there's technology, there's just simply small particles. The bottom line is both aluminum and everything else, they're shown to have very serious health problems. And the fact is he's talking about this before the context of COVID-19 or the very beginning of it. And the problem is, my point was in the chat, they're saying that they try to conflate the concept of nanoparticles with microchips and they make it all fake news. It's very obvious this is a real concern, very obvious this is something that's being used broadly in every sense of health right now, because they're redirecting the health direction in the focus of nanoparticles, of artificial intelligence, of all the different things we've pointed out around the topic of the Great Reset, technocracy and the new direction. This is not a secret. They've openly told you this was going to happen 20 years ago. And now every single thing they're doing is tied in with the idea of this new direction. The mRNA platforms, the nanoparticle, lipid nanoparticle encapsulation for the instructions for the spike protein, which is also dangerous. But you can go off on this for a long time. The point is that this person was warning you about these things alone, the nanoparticles alone, before we even got here. Now we're at a point where these things are being ubiquitously used and injected in people, even though the thing that's within it hasn't even been approved, still experimental, and so on. So as we get into the topic of why this is supposed to be misinformation, now let's say I tweet this to somebody or message this to you and say, hey, have you seen this peer-reviewed random controlled trial showing that nanoparticles can build and collect in your reproductive organs, or that they do in fact lead to all sorts of problems? They can now censor this, or the argument is they're planning to, building towards, discussing, doing just that. It's very, very alarming. Now, first off, I want people to make sure you watch this last episode. The concept of whether or not, scientifically speaking, vaccines can cause variants, or are more likely to, based on just a normal person interacting with a virus. Normal being somebody, that is my opinion, I guess, but just normal, the unvaccinated versus the vaxxed, right? The concept is that the vaccinated person today, based on the scientific research before this, seems to be the likely culprit for what causes especially so many variants, if that's actually what's happening, one after another. And I showed you yesterday, and I plead with you to check this episode out. And as always, for those that just don't want to say, as I saw on Twitter the other day, don't you know that that is not a verifiable, what's the term they used? The Last American Vagabond is not a correct source of information. Well, whatever, what does that even mean? Because this is the information. As you all can see, all the links, you know, that cite back to the FDA, the CDC, the HHS, and all the rest of them that they're telling us to listen to. So I cite those people saying these things, and because I say them, it's fake news. Does that make sense? Only if you don't care about facts and only narrative, you see. What we're pointing to are all the links, all the documentation about the actual people they're telling you. And this is not because I say you should trust them, but it's because we're showing you that even within their narrative, they don't even know the narrative. It's ridiculous, or specifically the facts behind that narrative. This is a very important discussion because it leads into where we're going and how they're justifying the illusion. So please take time to watch this. Are COVID vaccines creating variants? Let's look at what the scientific research says. Oh, and guess what? It was already censored. Crazy, right? Not at all, because it's the truth. And the science shows what I said. And I didn't say point blank, these are causing the variants. I simply said the scientific research showed that this is the likely culprit. But they don't like that. They don't like objective discussion. They like very, very specific claims rooted in their narrative, and nothing else is allowed. That's where we're going. Now, before we get into everything else, I wanted to make sure that you saw the Last American Vagabond's new TikTok channel. This was put together by our very own Star Wilson, and she's going to be sharing some of the clips of the T-Lab shows that we will be seeing doing going forward. And they'll be short clips. Like, I have Brock doing the longer clips, which I'm still very behind on, plenty coming to you very shortly. But Star will be doing the very short, you know, couple minutes, 30 seconds clips based on important things and getting those out there. So be sure to follow this as well as on Instagram. She's going to be pumping these out just to help get the information out. So appreciate that. Now, another quick point on Cuba in general, and I do see people comments in general about the sound. As I said, we will be making this exponentially better as the days go by. We actually just got a bunch of great foam to go around the walls and so on. So that will be dissipating. But on Cuba in general, we've just talked about Haiti. We've talked about this conversation and how all of this is spurring up in a very obvious way that seems questionable at the very least. That doesn't mean that there aren't people involved that believe that this is the right thing, or that believe that the U.S. government bringing in military is the best thing for democracy, whatever. The bottom line is, whether or not this was started organically or not, it is being used by the U.S. government because that is what they do. And by the way, that's not an opinion either. Even if it was just an opinion, it would be a very fair opinion based on historical death precedent, but we can see it. It's happening just like always. Now, this is my point, like I just said, let's just say this was organic. Are we going to pretend like the U.S. government that has a vested interest in taking control of this area, that they've, you know, I mean, from Bolton to today, we can see how hawkish they are towards Cuba, right? They're belligerent. And so now suddenly something happens. Are we going to pretend they won't step in and try to use it for their best interest? Obviously they will. But I'd say we should step a little further and ask whether this was actually created like we've seen in the past, like we saw in Bolivia, like we see in Venezuela, like we saw in Syria, like we see in Afghanistan. These are all verifiable facts, guys, that have been shown very clearly throughout history. Now, as Alan McLeod points out, RE, the Cuba protest, he said, I'd just like to point out that the U.S. House Appropriations budget you know, just so happen to allot $20 million to so-called democracy projects in Cuba, which are just a pseudonym for regime change and manipulation, as the CIA and plenty of groups have said in the past. Even the National Endowment for Democracy, I believe that was the one that said this, one of the non-governmental organizations that are very much tied to the government, openly state that they now do today what the CIA used to do in a clandestine fashion 20 years or 50 years ago, however long the term was. Because that's what they're doing. They're doing what the CIA used to do in an open fashion. They're manipulating under a guise of democracy to change things in the direction that they want them to go. This is not a secret. So your government spent $20 million for democracy, which seems to be leading in the direction of chaos, right? Of course, democracy in their minds means a change of leadership and putting their people in place. How did that work for Libya? How'd that work for Afghanistan? How'd that work for a lot of other places that we spent your tax dollars on to pro-democracy operations? But it says what they mean by democracy is made very clear when they say that not one penny can be used to help the Cuban government. Right? So it's not about democracy. It's about their democracy, about what they want. Like, this is not democracy. This is a shell game of authoritarian control under different guises. I mean, that's what this ultimately is. Now, Alan McLeod also points out the U.S. government has secretly penned distributed political satire books, spent more than $500 million, your tax dollars, on propaganda TV stations, and the CIA created a whole Twitter clone app that was secretly designed to slowly bombard Cubans with regime change propaganda. But it's all about freedom and democracy, though, right? If that was the case and all the people of Cuba were supporting your freedom and democracy efforts, why would you need to manipulate and lie and spend our dollars to pretend things were happening the way they wanted them? Isn't that telling? It is, because this is not real. This is what illusions look like. And his point is exactly that. As Alan McLeod points out, in case you're wondering why Cuba's trending nation or worldwide, well, because there's a lot of endless bots spreading the same kind of thing. And it's the same. Look, the point is, hypothetically speaking, sure, there could be somebody who would just copy and paste that because they agree with it. But the idea is there is an endless campaign of people that are put out there, whether real or not, to spread a very clear narrative. This, every government in the world does this, I argue. But that includes the U.S. government, right? So we need to pay attention to what's actually happening. And at the very least, ask whether or not it's organic. All we see in the two-party illusion, as always is important to point out, is one side pointing to the other side and saying, no, all those people, those are paid government agents. All those people, those are the real ones. And then the other side says the other thing. No, those are the paid government agents. Those are all the real people. How about there's some on either side? The reality is we just need to show discernment and question what's really happening and not blindly take the side we're on and the narrative they're spinning. Everybody lost in the two-party illusion will always be missing half the picture. That's what it's designed to do. Now, as Chuck Modi points out, there are massive demonstrations in Haiti. But because they are standing against U.S. imperialism and not calling for U.S. troops to occupy their country, which I doubt anybody really is there, they don't want the people to know this is happening. This is, of course, it's framed on one side. They'll show 50 people running through the street and say, oh, my God, a massive protest for freedom. But then they hide the, 100,000 rally for people saying, stay out of Haiti, U.S. government. We don't want you here. You know, it's... Anyway, the point is, I find the point to be very clear. I think it's obvious, and I'm not saying this isn't, there's probably people on the other side that argue that they want them to come free them from Haiti government, Haitian government, but the U.S. government has been immersed in this only failed state because of the U.S. and Western intervention for a very long time. So we should be questioning everything we're seeing in this situation. Now, also, we see French Press Agency saying, Cuban presidents accusing the U.S. government of wishing to provoke social unrest, which again is, it could be because he's saying that because he wants to cover what's really happening, or it could be because he sees what the U.S. government's doing and he wants people to know what's happening. Your choice. Look at history. Look at the facts around you. Not your choice, but your decision. Breaking Biden urges Cuban regime to hear their people. Of course, Cuban regime, right? The U.S. regime reaches out to the Cuban regime and says, hear your people. What about Biden? Are you listening to your people, Biden? Currently, more than half the country doesn't want what you're trying to force on them. But I'm sure Cuba needs to listen to their people. They probably do. But let's have a little bit of awareness, huh? Update, Cuba on Monday blamed U.S. policy of economic suffocation for unprecedented anti-government protests, and Biden calls for decades of oppression to end in communist island. Same old back and forth nonsense. But you know what? One side's clearly doing economic suffocation. Now, whether or not you think that's justified, Cuba is pointing to that. Right. So all they're saying is, well, stop hurting your people. But isn't that economic suffocation hurting their people? Yes, it is. So this is a ridiculous double standard across the board, which it always is. So the U.S. government saying we're going to keep hurting your people until you stop hurting your people, because that makes sense. Right. But of course, the New York Times is just pointing out the reality on accident, which is they tend to do a lot lately, shouting freedom and other anti-government slogans. Right. The Cubans took to the street. Yeah, since when is freedom an anti-government slogan? Well, since your government doesn't believe in freedom. I think that should be very clear today, because we don't live in a freedom situation here anymore. We live in a very top-down controlled authoritarian state, like we've always told you was really happening without you being aware of it. Now we are watching it happen. And the New York Times is going, oh my God, they're screaming freedom? Man, they hate the government, because governments aren't. I mean, that statement by itself shows you what the term freedom is anti-government. Exactly my point, and exactly what I've been saying. It's just, they're just telling you that. Pretty fantastic. But here's what they want you to think is really going on. As Cuba's screaming back and forth about, you know, yes, government, come save us from something. And the other side's going, no, no, this is, you know, we don't want U.S. regime change. The media sticks its fat finger in and says, no, they want COVID vaccines because freedom. It's just so stupid how obvious they are. Protests take place around Cuba as they face shortages of vaccines. Yeah, I haven't seen a single example of that actually being stated outside the mainstream media, but sure, whatever they can get to shoehorn their agenda in, because they're all about freedom and truth, right? Oh, meanwhile, on CNN, breaking news, skydiver who forgot his parachute suddenly dies of COVID virus. Yeah, it shouldn't even be laughed about, because that's probably the next thing we're going to see. Anyway, enough of the jokes. This is the kind of media that we're dealing with today. Let's bring it over to the main point of today's show, which is just unbelievable to me. Here's the clip I shared, and just to kind of show you that, you know, even like I think it was Discourse TV or these different Breaking 911s, you know, they don't even tend to share the link either. And I don't understand that. I don't know why nobody wants to share the links to these things, because I mean, I do know why, but it's about getting the information out, not being the one that people point to, right? I'm sure there's been 15 people that have already talked about this since I shared the tweet, because that's the point, right? More people, more talk, more spread. But as I said, this is no joke, guys. Soon to censor your private text communications if they deem it to be misinformation. This is the action of a terrified government losing control of the narrative. Still think they haven't been monitoring all of them thus far? Anybody? And here is where it exactly says that. Now, I'm going to show you the actual article itself, which, by the way, says really nothing about that in the main part. You know, the part which 99.9% of people read and move on, right? Potentially a death sentence. White House goes off on vaccine fearmongers. Right. Again, what I said the other day, what I said on Instagram this morning that suddenly just disappeared and vanished from Instagram, you know, owned by Facebook, shocker. That you're not allowed to have this opinion. That's the point. You're not allowed to have this opinion, right? Vaccine fearmongers mean that they're simply meaning anybody who's saying this doesn't seem safe. This seems alarming. This doesn't seem right. That's their opinion. Are they not allowed to have that opinion? No, they're not, according to the White House. That's what's happening right now. You are not allowed to say no. That was never in the cards. You get to say not right now, and they'll swing back later and force it on you again later. You don't get to say no. Which, by the way, whether or not you agree with that, don't you agree people have the right to say yes or no to a medical intervention? Well, we used to all agree with that until you were all terrified of something that's not really there for as they're telling you it is. The point is, you don't get to be concerned. You're either a smart person on the side of freedom, or you're a crazy anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist. That's the only two categories that exist according to the mainstream media and the White House. None of these expert PhDs, Nobel laureates, none of these people are anything other than crazy anti-vax conspiracy theorists because they don't trust what's happening. Despite the evidence, by the way, that I've shown you over and over and over, that give you justifiable reasons to, at the very least, be like, I'm going to go ahead and wait because this does not seem sound. But it says the administration has shifted to a head-on strategy to dispel fear-mongering of its door-to-door efforts. Now, this is an important point, something that was just shared by Spiro, in fact. But as it says, I did highlight it down here. Okay. So the main point was this first paragraph, which I'll read. But then the second part is about how they're trying to conflate politics with this concept, right? Which is what they're doing, by the way, but then saying that people doing that are the problem, which is hilarious. But also the reality that they're showing you that, well, people are just misinterpreting the door-to-door policy. Nobody's going to their door to make them do anything, right? They said they contended falsely in a tweet that government agents were going door to door to compel vaccination. Well, that's not exactly what it said. And that's not exactly what it, and by the way, let's actually talk about the word compel. What are we actually talking about here? Force or oblige, right? So when you go in there, you're going, you should do this. It's your duty. It's your patriotic duty. If you're doing that, you're not keeping people safe. That's what compel means. So if you're going, you know, okay, now we're talking about agents. Right, you see how they were really nitpicky about the words. Are there people going on behalf of the government? Yes. Are they going there to convince you to do this? Yes. So there's no false statement there. They just don't like what it shows you. Now, of course, I'm going to show you a tweet next that proves to you that's exactly what's happening on a real level. The actual vaccination is coming. But as it says, Biden allied groups, including the Democratic National Committee. So the real way to say this is your government, not left, not right, your government is planning to engage fact checkers more aggressively and work with SMS carriers, your phone, to dispel your phone. You know, I hate even saying the phone company. It sounds archaic. But, you know, the groups work that deal with your text messages to dispel misinformation about vaccines that is sent over social media and text messages. So they're not, this is very clear. They're not mincing words here. Information that is sent over your text messages to your family, friends, neighbors, anybody, they're telling you they're going to work with them to do something about that. It says the goal is to ensure that people who may have difficulty getting a vaccination because of issues like transportation see those barriers lessened or removed entirely. Now, I don't even understand how that sentence makes sense after what they just said. So they're saying we are going to work with these people to aggressively work to dispel misinformation. Easy way to sum that up. And they're talking about text messages and everything else. Now, and then it says the goal is to ensure that people who may have difficulty getting a vaccination because of things like transportation. So how does one have to do with the other? How does censoring your text messages have anything to do with the goal of removing transportation barriers? That's just clumsy writing. The point is what they want you to hear is that we're going to censor people's text messages because that is a barrier to people being vaccinated. That's what that means. So your personal beliefs, your personal private conversations and sharing information, by the way, that I can verify information, peer-reviewed science that challenges what they're saying, that is now going to be censored because that creates vaccine hesitancy. We told you this is where it was going to go. We said this is how it was going to escalate. And here we are yet again. For the 50,000th time, here we are again. Now, the next step is going to be called conspiracy fake news, too. And then we'll probably end up there as well. The point is we need to begin to realize how fast this is escalating. If they're willing to censor your private text messages, we need to realize how alarming this is. And by the way, that it's always been that alarming. We just haven't really seen it. It says, quote, "We are steadfastly committed to keeping politics out of the effort to get every American vaccinated so that we can save lives and help our economy further recover." Right. So they're saying we're going to keep politics out of this. We just need to get everyone safe. Right. Even though you're forcing it on people that don't need it, don't want it, or aren't at risk from this, according to your own data. But it says, when we see deliberate efforts to spread misinformation. So first of all, that implies that it's even on purpose, right? Isn't it possible that somebody shares something they believe is true that is they don't know? So how is that deliberate? But you see, the fact is they will censor it if they deem it to be misinformation, not deliberate. Right. So you don't get to have opinions anymore. It says we view that it is an impediment to the country's public health and we will not shy away from calling that out and then censoring it, which is what they just said. It's becoming more difficult to convince vaccine skeptics to get their shots, Right. Because it's your medicine. Right. Your mom's saying you have to get your medicine. You have to get this thing. It's not whether you yes or no. It's you have to. And so it's becoming more difficult to convince the people who don't want it to get the thing that we tell them they need to get. Like it's every single show, I make this very clear. You don't get to say no. I don't know why that's confusing to anybody. See, on one side of it, people don't care about that because they think you should get it, whether or not you want it. Then you got this whole other group of people that don't want it. Now, part of them are actually somehow convinced that they have the right to say no. They're telling you, you don't have that right. They're going to be knocking on your door. They're going to continue to do so. They're going to continue to coerce you. So you can't do this. You can't do that. You have to do this only then. You have to test 3 times a week, on and on and on. This is all coming out from your government. I've already shown you all this. So it's becoming more difficult to convince you, the majority of this country right now, to get a shot, to get their shot, as if it's absolutely normal and we all get it. You're just the only one out there not taking your medicine. And the anti-vaccine voices already vocal in the country are becoming more mainstreamed by Republicans. oh, wait a minute. Didn't you just say you were going to keep politics out of this? But then it's all those dirty Republicans over there making the problem. That's ridiculous. You couldn't even go another paragraph without making it political, which is just stupid. Of course, it's also the point is it's okay for our politics to be included, not theirs, right? And don't get lost in the two-party illusion with that. That is a division tactic. Your government is using that two-party illusion to keep you fighting each other instead of realizing that your government is forcing medical interventions on you that you don't need. All of it. And all you crazy people out there, the majority of this country, by the way, that just don't think you need this, they don't care. And they're going to call you all anti-vaxxer Republicans on one side, whatever. And by the way, and I've shown you this more than once, when you very clearly do the information, or excuse me, look at the information, this is a bipartisan refusal, right? This is, I've seen far, far, far more of people that are, the best way to put it, and this is a different conversation, but the fact is there's people that have studied this for years, that the vast majority of this country is in a quasi middle ground, where they sometimes vote Republican, sometimes vote Democrat, don't really care, kind of see that it's all BS, but just kind of go along, right? They base it on certain wedge issues that they care about specifically, and they'll go back and forth, right? Those are the people right now that are saying, we don't trust what's happening. And they don't want you to look at that. They only want to look at the people that scream Republican or scream Democrat and make it seem that it's all, the majority is getting vaccinated and everybody else is Republican. That's not the truth, guys. It's just not the truth. Just not the truth. But it's coming your way. They're going to be censoring your information. They'll be coming to your door. Now, it says, indeed, over the past weeks, criticism of the administration's door-to-door vaccination strategy, which, by the way, no matter how you spin that, is wildly invasive and simply wrong, because they're telling you, look, we already know what you didn't do, which that should mean the fact that they pretend they have the right, that HHS can say, of course, it's our duty to know your vaccination status. That was literally not the case, or at least they told us that wasn't the case right up until this all started. Oh, your privacy, right? Now it's, well, danger, no privacy exists. But again, they go on to say that has become an increasing fixture on Fox News. But not political, though. It's only on that one political side that's being political. It says, in addition to being a top topic, that's great writing, on conservative social media posts and over SMS messages to cell phone users. Do you realize what they just let out again right there? It's saying over the past few weeks, the criticism of door-to-door vaccine strategy has become a fixture on Fox News, in addition to being a top topic on conservative media posts and text messages. So let's make it very clear. So how would they know it's a top topic of text messages? How would they know that? I hope that's clear. If they know that a top conservative text message is about door-to-door vaccination, it's because they've already been, and they always have been, monitoring your text messages. And this is being shown to you now because they believe you're going to take it because we're doing it for your safety. It's always been there. It's coming at a time, it says, when the highly contagious Delta variant, which is not true, is triggering a rise in hospitalizations and infections, which again is not backed up by the data among those who have been vaccinated, which again is not backed up by the data. I did this in the last show. Please watch the show. I went over it all in here. All that's not true. At the very least, unverified. And they keep screaming that it is based on their hypothetical concern that it could be dangerous. It says those who are door knocking are individuals like pastors and grassroots organizers, not government bureaucrats. Okay, so who sent them again? Oh, that's right, the government. Right. They're treating you like your children, as always. Right. So when the government organizes a campaign to send people to your door, that's a government organization. A government effort. I don't care who does it. The same as the contact tracers, where you hired a bunch of people who were jazzed up on the virtues of COVID-19 quarantines and just trained them for 2 weeks and sent them out. Oh, but they're not government though, right? That's pathetic. This is an obvious, it doesn't matter whether they're a policeman, a military, or some military personnel or somebody signed up for it. It's still the same government effort to coerce you. But then it says, and they are not delivering vaccines, but spreading the word on where and how they can get vaccinated, which, by the way, are we pretending that those people don't already know that? That which is incredibly invasive and coercive, because everybody's getting 30,000 text messages and commercials and signs around the world. Everybody knows where they can go. So they're just trying to coerce you and make you feel guilty for not. But their point is, we're not bringing the vaccines, because that'd be crazy. to the degree that people understand that, the White House reasons it could have a positive impact on increasing vaccinations, right? You dumb conspiracy theorists, we're not bringing them to your door. This hasn't stopped conservative media figures from misrepresenting those efforts in strident, almost apocalyptic terms. Again, the that political side, because we're not being political. God, the two-party illusion is pathetic. It's ridiculous. But they're telling you, no, we're not going door to door, you crazy maniacs. But guess what?
Right now, though, talking about the COVID vaccine could be coming right to your doorstep. Starting today, the Mecklenburg County Health Department launched a new Doses to Doors program. Health Department workers giving out shots right there at your front door.
I guess that's confusing, right? I guess they just missed that when they wrote this article saying we're all a bunch of idiot conspiracy theorists. They're not going to bring it to your door, you maniacs. Except they're going to bring it to your door in North Carolina, because it's just like, this is how stupid all of this is. That they can sit here and write a big fancy article, oh my God, and you guys, you're all stupid and crazy, and it's all about you anti-vax. And then the literal thing that they base the entire thing about, the whole premise that all these crazy Republicans are lying about the fact that it's going door to door, that was the whole premise of this article. It's right there. This is the obvious reality. They're going to your door, and they're going to bring the vaccine. Now ask yourself on the other side note, that do they have all the appropriate medical equipment in case somebody has a problem? Of course they don't. They're not wheeling around all sorts of equipment. Well, of course, and that directly violates the FDA mandates for administering this injection. But I guess nobody cares about the facts and the law and what we're supposed to do, right? Of course not. Only when it applies to people that are spreading information that's true that they can call misinformation. Right? Does it not matter that they violate the FDA mandates, the mandatory requirements for administration of these injections set down by the FDA? Apparently not. It's just, this is so infuriating that this continues to happen. Those who are going door to door, where does it say? And they are not delivering vaccines. That's what it's all about. And they go on to make, just point out a bunch of Republicans and say, these people are crazy. Bottom line takeaway, they're going to be checking your text messages to dispel misinformation. That's what they're telling you they're going to do. And then they're not bringing vaccines to your door while they're bringing vaccines to your door.
Right to your doorstep starting today. Right now, though, talking about the COVID vaccine could be coming right to your doorstep starting today. The Mecklenburg County Health Department launched a new Doses to Doors program. Health Department workers giving out shots right there at your front door. This is part of an urgent push to make getting vaccinated easy. And we can tell you this new program started this morning in West Charlotte. We knew a few people who took advantage of it. WCNC Charlotte's Chloe Leshner explains how this first day went.
It's just so stupid. This should be a clip, right? I mean, it's just so stupid that they can keep doing this. I'm going to do this real quick. Well, why not? While you guys are here with me and they're not delivering vaccines, we're going to go ahead and do this real quick. Share his tweet here. I recommend you do the same because, you know, this is the kind of stuff that reaches people, you know, when, I mean, or at the very least people that are wanting to be reached, right? Because there's a lot of people that just would just dismiss it. They don't care. They don't want to see it. More mainstream media medical misinformation. Bear with me. I apparently can't type around my microphone. Crazy. All right, let's continue. Thank you, Spiro, for sharing that. I mean, it's just silly to me that they can continue to spread literal lies, like overt fake information, and base the entire debunking of the article on the idea that this isn't happening while it's happening. It just shows you how ridiculous it is where we really are, and that ultimately, things that are misinformation tend to turn out to not be misinformation, right? Happens all the time. Now, over into the other topic, as Taylor Hudak pointed out to me, President Macron announcing mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations for all healthcare workers beginning July 21st, and adds, we will probably have to think about the mandatory vaccination of all French citizens at some point. Of course. Right? We just talked about this and I showed you they were already, this was an open discussion and here it is. It's happening in real time, just like we told you. And as she points out, quote, those concerned will have until September 15th to get the jab. This is an experimental injection. It's unapproved. You cannot force someone to participate in a medical experiment, but they are. That is what's happening. Care staff, right? This is something that is currently being investigated, right? It is an experimental investigational medicine, which is what they call it themselves. I've already shown you this. You can look up investigational. They call it another term for experimental on the FDA website. That is what Pfizer, Moderna themselves call it investigational. It is an experimental injection. It has not been approved according to the FDA, and they're already forcing it on people around the world, whether healthcare workers or anybody else. This is wrong in every sense of the word, but it's happening anyway. As she points out, the focus, RE France, is COVID vaccination is mandatory for healthcare workers. She says, well, actually, it will be mandatory for everyone if you want to go to a restaurant, shop, hospital, or get on a plane or train. So get the jab or no food, no shopping, no medical care, no travel. And here's the point right there. Mandated special COVID then he passes for anyone who wants to go to a restaurant, shopping mall, hospital, or get on a train or plane, which is what we've been telling you from the beginning. Sure, they go, yeah, it's your choice, but you can't literally live your life without it. Totally makes sense, right? Well, in other places, it's going the other direction. In fact, here's Singapore. New normal, Singapore to become one of the first nations to stop counting COVID cases as it plans to treat virus like the flu. Well, isn't that interesting? This is July 4th. Somebody, I guess different country, but somebody may understand the idea of Independence Day. But they're telling you that they're going to treat it exactly like everybody else should be treating it. And again, it's interesting to look at where they are, the graph. Interesting how we can correlate the huge spikes with exact actions of the government, right? Right before this was lockdown, right before this was mask mandate, right before this was a lot of things. Interesting, right? And then this secondary spike, that was right after the primary vaccine. That would have been no right here where you can see the smaller spike. I can't zoom in anymore. Any case, it spiked after the vaccine administration. They're going to treat it like the flu. So I guess we'll have to wait and see, like Sweden, that it ends up being exactly what I will expect it would be. Now, the other point people are making is like, let's wait and see what happens to this president. Because there's an interesting series of events we've been seeing where presidents that go against the COVID narrative seem to have something happen to them. They seem to struggle and disappear or get assassinated. You know, we've seen that in Haiti. We've seen that in a lot of countries in Africa. But sure, probably just coincidence, right? Certainly could be. But, you know, keep your eyes out. Let's see what happens to the president of Singapore, because they seem to be getting challenged. But as Philip Watson points out, and this is the same general point about Singapore or anywhere else, as he says, post a graph showing Sweden doing well, as they are, and you're guaranteed the ostriches will troll you. Sweden is the uncomfortable reminder to them that they've been duped. I say it again for those who stay with sand in their ears. Sweden didn't do masks or lockdowns. And they're faring better than everybody, as far as I could tell. Florida didn't do masks or lockdowns, and they fared better than most of the U.S. states. Texas dropped lockdowns and masks, and they have since fared better than lockdowns and mask states. Simple facts, regardless who finds them uncomfortable. I don't get what's so hard for some to comprehend here. If masks work at stopping or slowing virus spread, then when a given country or U.S. state removed them, whilst the virus is still circulating, we should see an increase in cases. We don't. In fact, we see the opposite. Yep. Uncomfortable truths, guys, and I've done entire shows on this. That's why I'm just reading you his text, because I've gone over all the data. Not going to get into it again today, but as you know, the mask one continues to circle back around because they keep lying to you about it. I even just saw one that I decided not to talk about where they're challenging some new fact check about something that should have been discussed 6-7 months ago, claiming that N95 the pores on the filter are not too big to stop the particles. Fake news. And it's like, I showed you the video from Dr. Bridle and plenty of other experts that have made that very clear to you. Very, very clear. These are the experts, not the fact checkers who are checking the experts, right? That's the insulting part. But I won't go over that because we've gone over it so many times. But bringing this over into the next part, you know, what's actually happening because of the vaccine administration, the injections that are hurting people. Now, as I always say in general, I mean, look, this is somebody's mother, somebody's daughter, somebody's family. All we hear is it's rare. We can't prove it, right? So how many times, though? This is very clearly happening. They've admitted that. They've admitted to you that we are seeing anaphylactic shock, that we are seeing blood clots. Super rare, though. Benefits outweigh the risks, even though we don't fully understand the risks and we don't fully understand the benefits, but who cares about the facts? But my point is, even if one case was happening like this, right? Think about your mother. If you're out there saying we're all a bunch of conspiracy theorists, think about your mom. Are you willing to put your mom in this position? Maybe in your mind, because you think COVID-19 is the deadliest pandemic to ever strike the planet, but that's not true based on their data currently on their website. So you need to refresh yourself with what they're telling you. So understanding that this person sitting right here has a very minimal risk at all. Anybody under 40 seems to be pretty much non-existent risk. Under 20 was 0.01%, according to the 113 meta-analysis of 113 infection fatality rate studies on COVID-19, which I've shown you many times. The only one like that out there today, combining all of the studies they've done and showing you the overall information. If you knew this was possible, would you still want to risk that? For someone who's not at risk, why would you put this at risk? Why would you give them this opportunity for more risk? This is the problem. Now, remember the people that interview with Del Bigtree and plenty of others, months go by and they're still struggling with this. And all they can say is we don't know for sure. It must be in her head. She must be crazy. Dr. Akhan Saeed points out, absolutely disgusting. Is there any other country that mandates an experimental unlicensed gene therapy for any workforce? Remember, they're mandating these, right? Now imagine this was one of the nurses that France said had to take this. What are they going to do? Are they going to do something for her? Are they going to swing? You know, they're going to say it's not actually the vaccine. They're never going to swing back. They're going to say she's crazy. So they force this that gives this to some people, which we've proven, and yet nobody's actually getting the help that they need. Mandatory COVID vaccines for residential aged care workers. Here's the actual document. From September 17, 2021, COVID-19 vaccination will be mandatory for all residential aged care workers. It's Australia. So now we have Australia. We've got France coming to a town near you, guys. Includes nursing, personal care staff, allied health professionals, and even the guy cleaning the kitchen. Got to be forced. Here we are. Remember when this was all fake news? Remember when this was all crazy fake news conspiracy theory? Oh, you crazy anti-vaxxers, that's never going to happen. Well, those same people are now telling you you're crazy for not letting it happen. Doesn't that show you the whole point? Dr. John B. pointing out oral lesions post-injection at the first administration of the Pfizer biotech injection. Now, this was actually posted on June 12th, but the study is from March. 34-year-old woman from Italy. Here's the study. May 2021. Oral lesions post-injection. So if somebody gets one injection of the Pfizer, within days starts having an outbreak of these lesions. Now, this reminds me of the thing like the herpes virus connection. Bottom line is, guys, this stuff's there. This is a peer-reviewed study. Nobody's talking about this stuff. I guess trust the science only means trust what we want you to look at. Here is somebody from the Navy, a naval officer who spent at least 15 years on active duty, saying they're now potentially facing forcible discharge if they won't submit to taking a COVID vaccine, right? Somebody who served everybody, right? Who fought for you, who's now being told you have to forcible discharge, which I don't know how that works with like dishonorable discharge or how that works. Maybe you'll lose your benefits. I'm not sure. Regardless, you're being forced to end your career because you won't take an unapproved experimental injection. Here a thread on just what the scandal that is. All the data claims will be linked, but it says last week the Army released an execute order telling its troops to prepare for, prepare for mandatory vaccination. Though he has the authority, it's not likely the president will mandate vaccination without full FDA approval. So look out for that development, which I agree with, but it depends on what happens, right? A big enough event, anything could happen, which is typically what happens. But it says the Department of Defense will assuredly move as a whole, meaning all branches will require vaccination on the same schedule. Spoken to two command chaplains regarding religious exemption. I'm a Christian. Abortionist and cells from aborted children were used in the vaccine development, and am told exemptions won't likely be granted. Now, here's the crazy part. Misleading? So because their people find this to be safe. They label it misleading that this person in their personal experience personally spoke to a chaplain who told them that they won't be able to have that. Most likely. It's not even definitive. It just says most likely won't be. Fake news. I don't know if they're broken too because they are censoring the truth. I don't know how this is working, but that's ridiculous. But it says, so my choices are vaccination and forcible discharge. We're just a few years removed from the military's mandatory anthrax vaccine debacle, which was a debacle, which hurt a lot of people. They were found guilty of actually knowingly putting this out with problems, without full investigation. And here we are again. Here's hoping the administration remembers what a disaster that was. How about the sad reality is they already know what a disaster it was, and that's probably why this is happening. Well, as Daily Mail, monthly vaccine doses will be offered to long COVID sufferers. Remember the ridiculous argument of saying long anything when we're barely even beginning this, right? We're not in any long situation here based on their own metrics for what long-term effects actually are, talking years. So they're just shoehorning in what's happening as if it's long addressed to COVID, when really what it obviously seems like is the side effects of what they're giving people and side effects of everything else happening, as well as psychosomatic, by the way. There's all sorts of things just being jammed into this concept. But they're going to give them more without actually fully understanding what's happening. And I've proven that in past shows. They're saying because they have these things happening and they previously had COVID, therefore it's long COVID. That's not science. That's assumption. But here we are already giving them more experimental, unapproved gene therapy injections based on the assumption that it's being caused by that. Or how about the choice to make that what it is? 1 million Britons beat the illness. Right. Well, how about we consider this part of that as well? Up to 40% of COVID hospital patients infected with the Delta variant, so we're told, they may have been admitted for a different illness, according to official figures. That doesn't sound suspicious at all, does it? Well, first, before I even talk, just the bottom line here, 40%, 39 is what it actually is, up to 40%. They're telling you, based on their data, were people that came in, hey, I sprained my ankle. Oh, let's give you a test real quick. Oh, you've got Delta. Great. So did they, or is it a PCR test, yet again, giving you a false positive, which we absolutely know is part of this? It's starting the cycle all over again, guys. It's the same old damn thing. They're testing everybody as much as possible, and it's going to actually increase the cases, which then when people die for other causes or however this works, it'll be lumped into this. That's my opinion. Or when people just die from whatever's actually happening, because that also always happens too. The bottom line is, this is a misrepresentation. We've already proven that from the very beginning, and the same old thing is happening. We've already proven that lockdowns are very, very damaging and don't actually have an effect on the problem, and they're still going to happen again. They're already telling you that. We've already seen the science around the mask and been definitively shown, and they're still forcing them on people. It's about an agenda. 40% of these people, they were screaming about, we're all going to die because this is so serious. 40% of them likely had something else and were told they had this, even though they didn't have symptoms. Now, here's the crazy part. Daily Mail, it's a gigantic site. Very partisan, of course, and they're just mainstream media like everybody else. Doesn't mean you should trust what they say. But you take this exact title and search for it. You won't find it. Is anybody alarmed by that? I mean, we know this is happening, but look at this. That is the verbatim title. The only way I found it was actually somebody sent me a screenshot, was going to the Daily Mail and searching the exact title, and sure enough, you'll find it pop up. But this just goes to show you they're hiding information that they don't want you. Sure enough, it's there. If you know how to find it, it's there. But for people that don't know how to find it, even when they're looking for it, it's not there. This is the reality. This is the technocratic future. This is the Great Reset. This is what they're building, your digital gulag. You only see what they want you to see. And this is the next generation censorship, guys. Yeah, T-Lab's out there. But if you search for it exactly, you won't find it. Right? Half the time, if you go to the website, you get some kind of weird glitch or some kind of scare message or something. They're doing everything they can to keep you from finding this information. That's why it's important to save these things, earmark, save them, bookmark them, right? Do Wayback Machine, archive this stuff. But the crazy part of it is Google is actively making decisions for you, just like they're going to do with your text messages. They're telling you, no, you don't get to see that one. That one's not true. Crazy. Now, by the way, someone's commented, Google or anything, try it everywhere else, guys. I'm sure there's going to be some of these that might squeak it through, but you'll be shocked. Even the ones that are supposed to be privacy forward, it ends up sort of the same way a lot of times. Bottom line is that they're actively trying to cultivate and control the flow of information. Now, as the defender points out, this may seem like ostensibly good news. Pfizer fails to convince FDA on immediate need for COVID booster shots. Now, by the way, I don't buy this for a second. How much you want to bet they're going to drag their feet and then approve it? My opinion, call me a pessimist. I just don't believe any of this is any kind of pushback at all. I think that this booster shot was just, this is about getting this in your mind and in fact, actually getting people to call for it, right? How much you want to bet we're already going to see articles written by the mainstream and people on, you know, Substack and Medium saying that how dare the FDA refuse us what we need? How dare they? We need the booster shot. We're all going to die. We're not talking about natural immunity, which they all likely have. Who cares, right? Just like they're screaming at the FDA as a mainstream reporter, stenographer, that the FDA needs to approve this thing. why the hell do they think they have the right to speak up on that at all? I don't trust the FDA as far as I can throw them, but it doesn't mean the mainstream media has the right to speak up and coerce them to do what they want to happen. So it's going to happen here too. I can promise you they're probably already written. They're probably already out there. Find one, send it to me. I promise you there's somebody out there chastising the FDA for not approving the shot, the booster shot that we don't need. That's just an extension of the problem. But nonetheless, my gut tells me that they're just going to come back around and do it later. And this will be shown as their due diligence. Well, we didn't prove it right away. We were researching and studying. And now we'll approve making sure we're correct here. Because someone online was just going around this, the emergency authorization. Because just so we're clear, again, there is no crossover. Nothing. There's emergency use authorization and there's approval. That's it. There's no part approval. There's no half approval. There's no emergency approval. There's no emergency authorization approval. There's no, there's nothing. There is emergency authorization and there is approval, period. The FDA on their own website makes that abundantly clear. But half the people on the Twitter sphere, all jazzed up about how smart they are, very clearly are screaming at people talking about it and sharing my articles, by the way, saying, no, you stupid idiot, they're definitely approved for emergency use. And it's sad. There was a doctor saying that, right? Somebody claiming to be a PhD saying, yes, yes, you're stupid and we know. And it's just sad. That means they're either so convinced that they know that they don't even look, or by the way, quite plainly, they're just really bad at what they are if they don't know this. Because if their doctors don't know that, well, I'm scared for people that are working with them. But remember that as we go forward, because I'm going to touch on that at the end of this as well. Now, one last point. I find this to be, I have to admit, mildly frustrating. Frank Analysis does a great job, and I'm really glad to see Jimmy Dore going on his show to talk about something that I've been trying to get him to talk about for a long time. And here, I might as well just play at least the beginning of it. And here's the clip from Jimmy Dore that we shared that they didn't really clip out and release because it wasn't really meant to be public. But I think Nathan grabbed it, sent it to me, and we've been showing it because it's important to see that somebody like this who, was more so on the other side of this argument, ignoring the COVID discussion, in fact, saying that they, it doesn't matter. The point is ignoring the conversation. In a way, kind of dismissing even the concerns about it as conspiracy theory. And then Jimmy Dore got his injections, and here's what he was saying about
it. I'm still suffering from the effects of the COVID vaccine. I had the Moderna. And I had my second shot on April 17th. So now it's June, 9th today? So I have stiff neck. My stiff neck is not going away. It's sore. I still have flu-like symptoms. So meaning body aches, joint pains, and tiredness that comes in waves. So when I wake up in the morning, I feel mostly normal. But then in about an hour or two, I start feeling... how you feel body aches. I start feeling it in my knees when I go up and down the stairs. My neck, always, when I wake up, my neck is always. And so now I'm working with, by the way, I went to my primary physician. She says, yeah, I'm treating five people who have exactly like you. One of them is a neurologist. One of them is a nurse. And they were afraid to talk about their symptoms. Because they didn't want to be stigmatized and ostracized, because that's the culture we're living in now. You can't step out. If I criticize Dr. Fauci, they'll call me a Trumper. So that's the world we're living in. My cardiologist, when I went in, I told him I wanted to check my heart, make sure I didn't have inflammation in my heart, which I go in tomorrow for the follow-up. Find out. I told him about, this is from the vaccine I've been having. And he just shook his head. He goes, man, I'm seeing lots of bad reactions to this vaccine. Everybody like that. That's what my cardiologist said. I then have another doctor who's on the forefront of treating people like me who are having side effects from the vaccine. Now, what is this going on? 2 months after, has not stopped. And he tells me there's thousands and thousands of people like me.
Thousands and thousands and thousands, right? I mean, these are the very experts that are afraid to speak out. Now, what is mildly frustrating is that I've been, I've directly reached out and directly had communication and, it's just, obviously we have been on the forefront of this conversation. the very topics that have been dismissed and disparaged by the people in the circles that we're talking about, right? So when this is finally being discussed, and I'm glad it's Frank Analysis is a good channel to go on because I think he does a great job and he's an objective person. But it just makes me kind of irritated that Jimmy would just kind of jump over, you know what it is? And I'm kind of being facetious about it. It's because we're too contentious, right? It's because we are talking about the full picture and not just some of it. Not even to suggest that's not what Frank is doing. I'm just saying in regard to what Jimmy sees as the perception, I guess, you know, let me ask you guys, what I don't get why the last American vagabond is persona non grata in a lot of these circles. Because you know what I do know actually why is because some of the mainstream people that they kind of look up to have decided that we're fake news just because we are, regardless of how obviously we're sourcing what we're saying, right? I'm not left leaning enough or whatever it is, right? It's just interesting. But nonetheless, I'm glad it's being talked about. I just think it's funny that it's something of all people after, you know, anyway, so here, listen to what he has to say. You'll find this interesting.
They call certain people get COVID and they get better right away.
Yeah.
Certain people get COVID and they don't. They call them long haulers, right? And so there's a paper by the Salk Institute, which is very famous, and they identified this spike protein that, you know, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, I'm a pocket comedian, so it's really shorthand here.
Oh, you mean the Salk Institute and the study that showed the spike protein can cause disease, not just illness. Yeah, I wonder where that was talked about. I wonder where that information came from, possibly in an email that was directly sent from The Last American Vagabond and other people and the shows we discussed it on. Why wouldn't that be something? You see what I'm saying? Like, obviously, that's where this is coming from. Or, you know, it's just frustrating that, yes, this information has been slapping their show in the face for 6 months or more. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's like, I don't know why we can't acknowledge that. I mean, I do. Again, I just said it because doing so would then mark you as a conspiracy theorist because you look at conspiracy theory. How about we all act like adults and stop being concerned about morons out there calling us conspiracy theorists, people that don't understand the objective research that's being done, right? This is what happens. Right. I'm not trying. I'm just saying in a general sense, all of us, myself included, I'm sure there's somebody that I would shy away from because I'd be worried that they might. You know, we all have that. We need to drop that. We need to be able to objectively talk about anything that seems relevant to the conversation, no matter how far outside the sphere, you know, the Overton window. Right. We need to challenge that, which we did. The Overton window has completely warped throughout this whole process. Anyway, I just find it pretty interesting that this is something that's being discussed here after we've been yelling about it forever. And even then, you know, it was kind of just a tail off that, like, well, the spike protein, it's like, well, what? Talk about it. What does it mean? Is it dangerous? Is it hurting you?
But I'm experiencing it, so that's why I'm talking about it. If I wasn't experiencing it, I wouldn't feel I had license to talk about it, but I want to talk about my experience firsthand.
Yeah.
And, so they call those people who don't get better from it long haulers, and there are things because of the spike protein.
Yeah, well, I'm going to leave it alone. That's just not even accurate. But the end of the day, what we're talking about, the long haul discussion, could actually be the injection, right? Look at what Jimmy is dealing with. There are an endless listing of people who got the injection and then continue to say that what they're dealing with is an extension of COVID-19 instead of realizing that the soreness and the shortness of breath, which Jimmy's talking about, which he got from the vaccine, is part of the injection and not the other, right? And this is the interesting part. Anyway, open invitation. I would love to have him back on the show to actually get through this and really dive into what he's dealing with on a really deep level. Interesting, though. Now going to the next part, Highwire shares this tweet, and this just gets into the absurdity of what we are dealing with today. Really, really crazy. No music, quote, higher than 120 beats per minute in order to stop the spread of coronavirus, as otherwise people would breathe too fast. That's a quote, by the way. RT, or excuse me, just saying retweet, I guess. No more Gangnam style. This is South Korea. COVID rules are literally demanding slower workout music in gyms because it makes you breathe too fast. Not the workout, of course. You can be running on the treadmill and you're good, right? But the music playing too fast, well, that will just make you breathe faster. This is the irrational, nonsensical kind of government mandate. It's just about making you aware that they control every single aspect of your life at any given moment. It's crazy. Here's another ridiculous thing we've already sort of talked about, but this is on this is from the CDC. They had already TV channels like or TV commercials like this. Prepare for a hurricane. Take your basic steps now to ensure your safety when you hit the storm. Number one step, make sure you get your injection. Excuse me? So before getting supplies in case the hurricane hits, your first thing you should do is go out, go to a location, get a thing that could put you in danger, that could make you pass out, that could make you lose consciousness, that could put you make you vomit and sick during a dangerous situation. Yeah, makes total sense, right? Go get that thing first and then struggle through everything else, right? No. Get supplies, stock water, shut down in your home. That is what you need to be doing. Getting some kind of a medical treatment right before a possible dangerous situation is ridiculously stupid. And we all know that. But not in the world where it's only this that matters, right? But the CDC listened because they know, right? They're smart. Here's another funny thing I just wanted to share. And this is the kind of thing that this is just a joke, really. But it's not, but there's so many examples like this. For those in the podcast, you see the royal family at a game, at a sports game, right? You've got the older, the prince or king, or I'm sorry, one of the heirs. I'm not really versed on my royal family, but you got the older heir and you got one of the younger heirs, male, sitting right there watching the game. And as it says, this is the simplest way to explain this to the normies out there. If there were a real deadly pandemic, then two of the heirs to the British throne probably wouldn't be allowed to join 50,000 other football fans inside of a stadium. You know, just a simple thought, right? Think about that. I mean, this is like taking the vice president and the president to a location where you're arguing there's a bunch of possibly sick people that could kill everybody. What about the continuity of government, right? Like, that's just stupid. Yeah, let's send both of the younger and the older heirs to the throne into this location and without masks, it's dumb. Right. I mean, of course, even if you're arguing they got vaccinated, so they're safe. Well, we know that doesn't make sense because it's not actually keeping them safe. We've already shown people dying. So the argument is would they really? Now, even if this is not something you take seriously, just take a minute and step back and think about that. Would they put them in this situation if this was actually what they say it is? I found this to be a pretty good point. But speaking to the illusion of the entire thing, here's another study. The U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institutes of Health. March 2021, cycle threshold values from SARS-CoV-2 diagnostic PCR should not be used as the direct estimate of viral load. Man, that was back in March, but I guess we still seem to be using it. I guess they're not trusting the science though, right? The point being is meaning of viral load, not the bastardization of it they use to apply to the mask discussion. The viral load is about how much is in your body and how much that means in regard to you taking in that it could. The point is you can take in whatever, the flu, anything, and you still might not get sick, right? You could get even one small piece and get sick. It varies. But the bottom line is, what they're saying is this should not be the applicable use test to decide whether or not you're transmissible. And we've always known this. Kerry Mullis would say the same thing if he were still around, as he did before. And we know this stuff, and the science finds this stuff, and yet we still continue to use it. Because it's an illusion. The PCR test is the illusion. As I showed you with the epidemic that wasn't in 2007 with whooping cough. The focal point of what caused the epidemic that wasn't, which is what they call it, is the over-reliance of the PCR test. That's what the doctors found themselves back in 2007. And they said, we should be very careful about this. And clearly they just learned how to use this, and that's what we're doing today. That's what I think. But the UN calls for a global database of human gene editing research. Man, I wonder why they're incessantly continuing to test people and using this test that doesn't actually work and arguing that we have to keep testing everybody. Maybe it's because there's plenty more going on. A UN database of all human gene editing. Why are we even allowing this to take place? Well, here's a prominent YouTuber who's totally turning and trading. I mean, this I guess it doesn't matter whether you're on YouTube. But a prominent YouTuber saying, petition, make verified ID a requirement for opening a social media account. Think about that. Here's somebody advocating for no more anonymity. I wonder why that's relevant today. You need to verify government ID to be able to engage on the internet sphere. That's what's happening, right? Well, here's right after that, WHO is working on a digital wallet to store vaccination certificates. Because that was always the plan, just like the EU document points out, was always planned between 2021 and 2022. I'll see if I can even bring that up real quick. Yep, there it is, the roadmap. Which this is just such a telling document. I mean, this is such a big deal. So in 2018, they begin a roadmap, which leads you all the way down the line to the final culmination of a commission proposal for a common vaccination card / passport. Weird how they planned that 4 years ago to happen right between 2021 and 2022. Isn't that strange? Right on track. I guess that's just a big coincidence, right? Well, finally, finish off, or I guess the two last parts here, to show you that the mask discussion is kind of continuing here. California K through 12 students who refuse to wear masks will be barred from campuses, says the state. Which is obscene, because not only do the information clearly show that they're not actually at risk, on top of that, that the masks are actually hurting them, which we've shown you more than once. Showing you quite clearly. This is the very last one we looked at, June 30th, 2021. Experimental assessment of carbon dioxide content in inhaled air with or without face masks. The bottom line is that they find, according to the German Federal Environmental Office, that a level of 0.2% by volume or 2,000 parts per million of carbon dioxide is the limit for closed rooms, according to the German Federal Environmental Office. Anything above that is unacceptable. Well, as you remember, what they found was that the youngest child, or excuse me, starting here, it shows that the value of the child with the lowest carbon dioxide level. So they actually tested 25,000 children, or almost 26,000, in fact. And they found that the child with the lowest amount was, in fact, three times higher than the limit. So the unacceptable limit, that child, the lowest one, was three times higher. That's hurting that child. You are hurting, you're killing, you are hurting that child in irrevocable ways, because they were in this for 270 minutes a day on average. The youngest child, who was only 7 years old, guess what? Had a carbon dioxide level measured for 270 minutes a day at 25,000 parts per million. So 2,000 parts per million is the top that it can be. Anything above that's unacceptable. This 7-year-old child is getting 25,000 parts per million for 270 minutes a day. Every five days a week, and however often it happens on the weekends. You are killing these children. And the science is showing you that, and they don't care. It's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. And by the way, just so we're clear, this is a peer-reviewed random controlled trial that doesn't matter. Who cares? Fake news, right? Well, the point is, this is where it was happening. California was saying this just yesterday, I believe, that all kids K to 12, which aren't at risk, are going to have to wear these or they can't go back to school. As I said, but then this is a point to make very quickly before we show you what just happened. Think about how insultingly ridiculous that is. That the very people screaming, trust the science, right? Just like Gavin Newsom says, you all have to lock down because you're all in danger, but I'm going to go out to the French Laundry and have a nice dinner with 13 people, right? They don't care because it's not actually what they believe. They're telling you to do all this because trust the science. But the moment that the CDC and the WHO say, no, no, no more masks, they go, but we don't care. We're going to do it anyway. So what happened to trusting the science, by the way, even though it's not actually the science, the point is within their narrative, which is what I'm always showing you guys. They believe and are telling you the science is clear, trust the science. But then when the scientific groups say no more masks, they keep doing it. Anybody want to explain that? The WHO says no more lockdowns because it's not actually helping and they keep doing it. Anybody want to explain that? It's because there's something else happening here. Trust the science, I guess, only insofar as it aligns with the agenda. But even then, the science never actually said what they aggressively claimed it did. This just reveals the arbitrary, false, and dishonest nature of the whole damn thing. But probably because of pushback, just like ours, just like yours, in an abrupt turnaround, California has decided to let the districts decide, which doesn't really change anything, guys. The reason Gavin Newsom is pushing this is because the people around him agree with it. So the districts, the school districts, they're going to do it already. I can almost promise you the vast majority of them will do it anyway. So it's the same problem. And these same kids are still going to be suffering when they don't need it. And it is just immoral, in my opinion, based on the information we have. And as a kind of a joke, as Patrick Henningsen points out, and I agree, it's almost insulting. Anybody notice how the muzzle mask has kind of transformed into a fashionable chin strap? It's become a virtue signal, just like it always was. These people are just kind of done, but they keep it around their chin, though, just to show you that they still care. It's ridiculous. But remember, which is always important to show, that the 2015 random controlled trial on cloth masks, which is what the vast majority of Americans are wearing, and it was in 2015, not a year ago, as Tucker Carlson falsely told you, this is important because it shows you as the only random controlled trial that simply these cloth masks have significantly higher rates of infection than everything else. In fact, also showing you that penetration of the cloth mask was almost 100%, meaning the droplets go through almost 100%. Droplets, not aerosolized particulates, droplets. So whatever their narrative is, the cloth masks are simply not working for you. And as well as almost 44% of medical masks, which is just ridiculous, not surgical, but medical, the kind you buy at Walgreens. The point is, this study is the first random controlled trial showing you that moisture retention, reuse of those masks, which is what everybody's dealing with, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection. And they go on to say we shouldn't be using those because of that. So the point being, we're doing it anyway. This is causing pneumonia, causing oral thrush, causing periodontal disease, causing a lot of infections, causing pneumonia, which we've already clearly shown you is obviously possible. And this is the study showing you that's the obvious truth. But then I want to show you this absurd sidestep where we know all this is possible. We know these things are happening. In fact, I might as well really quickly, just so for those that didn't see it before, here's what a PhD has to say on the matter. I have an interesting theory, and really it's based on the facts and the science, that there is an issue happening, especially with the season in regard to the masking and bacterial buildup that is causing bacterial pneumonia. And it seems like a basic conclusion to come to, but it's a big conspiracy theory today to even make such a claim. But I find if you have thoughts, go ahead.
Well, not my thoughts. They're the thoughts of Jim Meehan. I interviewed him on my podcast on Breaking Science. I'm sorry to interrupt, but Jim Meehan, MD, he said, if you mask all day long and you mask these kids all day long, they're going to get bacterial infections. Adults are going to get bacterial pneumonia. It's a given in medicine that that's going to happen.
It's just so silly. You're putting a piece of cloth over your face that develops back moisture from breathing in and out. And we're going to pretend like that doesn't, if you get a moist towel and leave it on the countertop for a week, what do you think is going to happen to it? It's going to grow bacteria. I don't know why this is such a complicated situation, but nonetheless, I've gone deep on that a million times. The point is, this is what we're seeing. I've had this off to the side, by the way, so a lot of these articles are going to be outdated. They're not like very recent or from, last month, whatever. But it's just about the information, the flow. The CDC is warning doctors about a mystery bacterial outbreak. What a mystery. Right? And not even a mention of the masks on people's faces is even being included in this. And this is all assumption. It's a mystery. So everything they go into about this special disease, which doesn't do, it's all guesses. The point is, this is happening and it's being caused by something, but it's a mystery. How about the fact that you're creating a bacterial, as they put it right here, that exact situation, moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks may result in increased risk of infection. Well, what are we talking about? A bacterial outbreak. The idea is that you have staphylococcus and a lot of different bacteria naturally in your mouth. The mask dries your mouth out. You breathe those back into your lungs and that becomes pneumonia. This is a no-brainer. Or oral thrush and everything else develops. All sorts of stuff starts growing in your mouth because of the situation you've created. And that creates all sorts of things. It goes in a lot of different directions, including just general systemic inflammation, which is very dangerous. But my point is that we're seeing this pop up. And nobody's trying to associate it with anything other than something new, something different we can treat. Maybe even COVID-19. That's also discussed. Side effect of COVID-19. How about a side effect of the horrible things we're doing to people right now? Or even just the vaccine itself. Nobody wants to ask these questions. Seems logical based on the information in front of us that this is an obvious no-brainer, Occam's razor kind of scenario. But as James Lyons-Weiler points out as well, all alleged cases of this new mysterious infection should be confirmed by sequencing. Otherwise, all vaccine-induced brain damage will be false attributed, right? This could be the injection. This could be a lot of different things. Oh, that's right. USA Today won't even let you look at the title because they're clearly succeeding with what they're doing, right? Gotta pay that, right? That's a clear sign of a succeeding news outlet. But what it's telling you here, as it says, doctors are stunned. How did foreign bacteria leave this girl? Gee, I wonder. I guarantee she was being forced to wear a mask. Was she injected? How about we ask these logical questions and whether that's creating, an increased risk of infection? Shocker, right? Well, here's another one. CDC warns of a new outbreak of life-threatening disease that paralyzes healthy kids. Uh-oh. Well, could this? Yes, it could. And I don't know why people aren't putting this stuff together. We are giving people a genetically manipulative dose of something that's never been done before in this way, hasn't been fully tested properly, only a couple of months, that's already been injected in people. It is experimental, it is investigational, and it is unapproved. And we're asking, what else could be causing these random outbreak of all these different things that all of a sudden start happening around this project? It's insulting to me. Now, remember, we talked about this a long time ago. We talked about this in this. This was back on December 10th, 2020. Andhra Pradesh was doing a vaccine trial. And all around that entire, I'm blanking on the area. Gee, I hate when I can't remember the term. You know, this, the, not a state, but you know, the territory we're talking about. Everywhere around there, there was all sorts of weird stuff happening. And as I said, India's mysterious illness was in the same location as a COVID vaccine trial. That's all I was stating was that. Of course, I got censored like everything else, which is what which always happens. It's not even on there anymore. I didn't say it was guaranteed. I simply said, why aren't we considering that? And of course, this was early on. Get it out of the way. We can't have that kind of truth out there. Well, the point was, this is happening all over the place. Canada, 40 cases of unknown neurological disease after a genetic injection that's going around. I mean, we saw all this. We saw these actual neurological problems that have been associated with the injection. But we have 4 cases of unknown neurological disease after a mass injection program, and we can't put 2 and 2 together. Here's the New York Times. Mysterious brain syndrome stumps Canadian doctors. Mysterious illness that hospitalized hundreds in India stumps experts. This is the same thing. That's the carryover. Look at how interesting the crossover is. It's like the same score discussion. So I wonder what's happening. I'm asking you just to think for yourself. Mysterious brain disease that claims 6 lives in New Brunswick. Say this is, some of these are in the same location. Mysterious brain disease cluster. It's being reported everywhere. Everywhere. And we can't stop and think about the fact that there's already been peer-reviewed research that actually claimed exactly what we say is happening, that COVID-19 RNA-based vaccines could, in fact, increase the risk of prion disease, a neurological problem, or even facts, even things like ALS. They're telling you Alzheimer's disease. They're saying neurological degenerative diseases. That's what these injections, they're telling you definitively in their minds, this is a possibility. This is something that these injections can do. And then we see an outbreak of neurological diseases around the world, and we can't talk about what that could be. We can't ask ourselves whether that is something that's causing it. This is called ignoring the science. That's what's happening. I saw somebody actually just use trust the silence. I forget who that was. But nonetheless, I'm not saying we can prove it. I'm saying that we are not being allowed to ask logical questions, which stifles research, stifles science, stifles objective thought, which is what they're actually trying to do. Which brings us to the final point here, finishing up about an hour and a half. That's fantastic. This is happening tomorrow. The emergency use authorization is going to be renewed, if not tomorrow, in the following days. And that is not allowed, in my opinion, based on the actual information. The fact is, we are not in an emergency, guys, in no sense of the word. You can look at the past discussions about this. You can look at the U.S. government's own metrics on what used to constitute an emergency based on numbers and scale, whatever. Nowhere even close do we meet that metric. But yet they're going to keep it going because of the consequences of what we dealt with, which, by the way, is an easy scapegoat to let this go on forever. Long COVID will go on forever. Well, as long as the consequences are there, and I'll show you that right now. But the point in showing you this again is to show you that on April 15th was the last one. Here's the first one. This was Alex Azar under Trump, 1/31/2020. And what they're telling you is that as of January 27th, this was an emergency as a result of confirmed cases, which was a PCR test, different conversation. And obviously, those weren't confirmed, in my opinion, or really not confirmed by any stretch of the imagination based on what we know that test can do and what anybody honest would point out, but who cares about that, right? Who cares? But the point was they're claiming it was confirmed cases, right? Here's where we are next, where they extended this on April 15th for 90 days. And by the way, as you can show, they've done this already a bunch, right? A bunch of times, I think 7 or 8 times, they've already extended the emergency despite not being in an emergency. But the second time they tell you, not as confirmed cases, which is what it should be, no, as a result of the continued consequences. Ah, okay. Well, so now you're stretching this into an imaginary situation where anything dangerous might be happening. And you know why they put it this way? Because the HHS is the one in charge of this now. And the HHS, as they've altered this over the years to make the case, it's completely subjective. They've now altered this to make it where if they feel this is the case based on their determination, that's all that matters. That's not based on science. That's based on one person's determination. And now it's based on just simply the consequences. So how long is that going to go on? And I'm going to show you this now. So before I even get into this, oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot. This refreshed and I lost the highlighting. That's okay. Remember, the point is that we are going to step into this tomorrow. Now, if tomorrow passes and they do not publicly, and this is the site to keep track, this is the link right here, I'll include this, to follow. If they don't update this and add a 90-day, this should be public, it should be in Congress. If they don't, that means that they're breaking the law. So every moment that this goes past 90 days, they don't have a valid legal justification. They don't have a valid emergency authorization, which means therefore every single injection being given under that emergency authorization is a crime. That's already happened, by the way. There's already been examples where they let this lapse for a couple of days in between the emergency. Nobody cares about that, apparently, even though that's a very big deal. So I'm getting ahead of this, and we're going to talk about this every moment as this passes. We cannot, one, allow this emergency to continue because it's not actually there. And two, we need to be very vigilant about whether or not they're timely and on it, because that'll be a big deal for us to scream about every moment that this thing is not actually there, because the whole thing falls apart without their unjust declaration of emergency, which started in Trump's administration and is carried on to today. But going back to this, this is the actual Section 13 coming from this document. Oh, I lost that stuff too. That's frustrating. Oh, well. Well, I'm going to skip this then. Ah, dang it. Well, this whole thing refreshed on me somehow, and I had, oh man, yeah, this is a PDF document, so I had to go through this painfully. But I showed you yesterday. Hopefully you'll go back and look at the show from day before yesterday, where I do go through and I read the main parts anyway. The main parts being simply that the emergency gives them the authority to conduct biomedical research, advanced research, to conduct investigations, to arrest people. This is based on health, guys. It's scary stuff. As well as the fact that they're going to continue to do this based on a subjective opinion of the Health and Human Services. But as it says, the law authorizes the secretary to determine that a public health emergency exists. This determination, which is important, the terminology, triggers emergency powers that basically allows them to fund governments and spend your money. But on top of that, it allows other things that you should read through in this document. This is just the entire Public Health Service Act, of which 319 is a part. Now it says Section 319 authorizes the secretary to make determinations that a public health emergency exists if the secretary determines that a disease or disorder presents a public health emergency, or that a public health emergency, including significant outbreaks of infectious diseases or bioterrorist attacks, otherwise exists. Very subjective and far more defined in the actual document. The bottom line is that they are just going to say, yes, we think this should continue based on consequences, and they're going to do it. We need to stand up and say this is no longer allowed. Because don't forget, the illusion they feed us is that they're simply extensions of our will, right? That we are their representatives of the American people, and that they're just extensions of that's not the truth, but that's what they tell us. So let's stand up and tell them we no longer agree. The secretary's action is specifically referred to as a determination, right? It's very specific that they make, this has been because of amendments. In Section 319 and the documents issued by the HHS, instead of the term declaration, determination, you see. Declaration is a statement. Determination is their opinion. The secretary can determine that a disease or condition presents a public health emergency based on conditions existing before an outbreak or natural occurrence. So this is my point, guys. This is a change here, right? That's why you should read the footnotes. The point is that now, based on their hypothetical, they're going to say, well, because of the consequences of which could come back, the Delta variant, we don't know. The Delta variant could be more dangerous. So based on conditions before, that's how they're going to keep this going. And believe you me, they have changed this. Believe me, they have altered this to make this the case, because this is what I believe was always the plan. Now I'm going to leave it there just because I lost the highlight and everything. But nonetheless, guys, I'm going to talk about this again tomorrow. Read this for yourself. Maybe I'll go back and highlight this again painfully. But 90 days exactly is July 14th. This is coming your way. And it is time for us. Oops, I forgot I don't have the camera. Let me see. It's okay. We'll leave it there. Yeah, that's fine. But anyway, it's coming your way, guys. And it's time for us to stand up and put a stop to this, because we have everything in front of us. All the tools you need are right in front of you. It is time to put an end to this illusion that is keeping everybody in lockdown and quarantine, stopping people from seeing their families, just generally hurting you. Time to stop it. Thank you for tuning in today. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Struggles we bear, make you listen, make clear.
See these struggles we've been. Nobody don't care. I'm stuck in my house.
Yeah,
no kind of
what the hell are you doing to this woman?
Nobody don't care.
What are you doing? What are these four women doing?
Stuck in my house. Nobody don't care. I tell you, nobody cares. I turn on my TV, everybody is fighting, they're fighting. Can't you see they're dividing, dividing us? They're afraid of the whole of us, soul of us. Can't you see they're dividing, dividing us? Cause they don't wanna see us living together. They prefer seeing us canceling each other. They wanna see us die, don't wanna see us try. Fear-mongering that is trending. 1984, them defending. Global reset, a new life pending. Better wake up and stop from sleeping. Remember the female campers, they're waking. Who know what I take them indoctrination? No re-education, no depopulation.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
It's time to unite, get up and fight. Oh, it's time to unite. Yes, it's time to fight. Revolution will be televised. No time. China get left behind. Never move to the right to the right. Nobody not
here. Where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed.
Hold on a minute, don't take her away. Betty, don't take her away. Don't take her away. Don't
take her away, you bastard! You absolute bastard! Nobody don't get it. If you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. It's the message.